All right, everyone. Oh, snap. I just kind of changed my view and I'm trying to figure out what just happened. Are you guys seeing the screen share that I'm trying to share? Hopefully, is that working? Oh,
Yes.
okay, that looks pretty good, except that it's not totally full screen, but okay, that's as good as it gets. Close the downloads. Okay, that's pretty good. All right, nice. Well, good evening, everyone. Just really wanted to share with you guys some ways to pray about the word. So tonight's topic is five prayers about the world, about the Bible that God loves to answer. So I'm going to be talking about praying about the Bible because the issue at hand. I think if you've gone to church or fellowship or Bible study, or you've tried to memorize verses like the ones that we've just been memorizing, I feel like there's sometimes that I'm really eager and excited for the Word of God, eager and excited to memorize, eager and excited for sermons or Bible study. But there's other seasons of my life where I'm not totally eager and excited. I'm like, oh, this is something I got to do. I guess I better do it. I know it's the right thing to do. I know the church wants me to do it. My Bible study leader wants me to do it. So I'd best do that, right? But the thing is, all of these are meant to be grace and blessing for us, right? Gonna share a quick verse with you. We really ought to be excited and eager for the word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. A lot of us actually have that part memorized. Not all of us have the next part memorized, though. Why? Why does God give us his words? All scripture, the whole Bible, is God-breathed, and it is useful to teach us and rebuke us. Thanks, Juan, for sharing the way God rebuked you through your die. That was hilarious, but so true. I'm like, oh man, God would bless me so much more if I would not just submit to him, be more humble. But the word does that too. The word rebukes, the word corrects, the word trains us in righteousness. But why? So that the man or the woman of God could be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's actually a really wild statement if you think about it. Basically, God wants you and me to be ready to do anything that the Bible would command, to love like Jesus, to be patient like him, to teach others, to do great things by faith, to lead, to bless, to serve, to encourage, to be strong. Like, he wants us to be able to do all things. This is tremendously exciting. But somehow that gets lost a lot of the time when I sit down and I open my Bible or I pull out my memory verses or I come to the Bible study. Oh no, it's Wednesday. It's time for me to do the Bible study. All right, I better open it up, do the questions. But God wants to bless us so much through his word. Amen. So, I'm about to get into this. Let me open us with a word of prayer before we go too much further, though. So let me pray. God, we thank you so much for your word that you speak to us and that you're the God of the universe. You're the maker of everyone and everything. And yet you long to relate with us, to speak to us, to give us grace. How wild is that? How amazing, how wonderful that you don't turn us back or you don't turn us away. And even though we don't give our lives completely to you, every moment of every day, like you deserve, you still long to speak to us and to guide us as a loving Father, our Heavenly Father. So thank you, God. I pray that you would really lead us and bless us and teach us to pray as we come to your word. So thank you, God. Help us to make the most of this night. Thank you. You give us this night to worship you, to enjoy fellowship with one another, to have fun, to give thanks for the good things that's going on in our lives and the lessons you're teaching. And thank you, God. Would you lead us and bless us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to share with you a couple reasons. First of all, how do we know that God's going to answer prayer? Because this is pretty big and pretty important. We're talking about prayer, prayers that God loves to answer. How do we even know in the first place that God will answer? And I'm going to give you a couple verses. First one, Christ brought us into a real relationship with God. That's what 1 Peter 3:18 tells us. The reason Christ died for sins, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that's us. Why? To bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. He died to bring us back to God. He lives by the Spirit, and that Spirit lives in us to foster and to facilitate, to make that relationship happen. When we open the Bible, when we open the Word of God, it's not just a book, right? It's not just a holy text or holy scripture, but it is the living Word of God. And Christ died. The whole reason that he went to the cross was to take away every reason and everything that would keep us away from relating with God, from him speaking to us and having that real relationship, kind of breaking down all the barriers. I think in a lot of our friendships and relationships, sometimes there's times when the relationship gets kind of cold. Maybe something happens. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe the other person did something wrong. Maybe it's just circumstances drew us away. We didn't really cultivate the relationship or try to keep it up. You know, like I don't message, you don't message. No one's messaging. We don't keep up, right? We drift apart. And these things happen between us and God. We do a lot of sin, even as believers, right? We do things that are not right. We do things that are wrong, evil, and offensive to God. But Christ died for all of it. Even the wrong that we've done today. Even the wrong that we'll do tomorrow, next week, my next years as a believer. He died for all of it to bring us to God, that he could speak to us through the Word. That he could not just answer that prayer, but all the prayers that we have. A funny illustration about prayer that I like. There was a pastor who had brought his little boy to like a carnival, you know, where you buy the tickets and then you spend the tickets to get on rides. So like the Ferris wheel would cost like 3. A really cool roller coaster would cost like 10. But a random little boy asked this pastor, "Hey, could I get some tickets for the ride?" And the pastor's like, "No, I don't know you. Who are you? Why are you asking me? Sorry, these are for my son." And then the little kid tries again, and it's like, "Oh, it's so random. Why is this boy asking me?" But then the little boy comes back with the pastor's son, and the son's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't make this clear, Dad. This is my best friend from school, or my good friend from school. We just ran into each other, but he ran out of tickets. Could we give him some of my tickets?" And the dad's like, "Oh, snap, sure, of course." It's like we don't have a relationship with God, but we have a relationship with the Son. The Son brings us into a relationship with the Father. And now we have the right to ask because we have that relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus came to do. Let me give you another verse. 1 John 5:14-15. This is a promise from God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if you're praying something that is God's will, he's definitely listening. But it goes on and it says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So this is a massive promise that God gives. And God doesn't go back on his promises. God keeps his word. It doesn't always happen the way we expect it to happen or when we expect it to happen, but God does keep his promises. You think about all the crazy things that God told people he would do throughout the Bible. Like, he's going to bring his people out of Egypt when they've been enslaved for hundreds of years. And it's the greatest empire on earth. And how are you ever going to get away, right? But God promised that they would worship God. And they get out of Egypt and they do it on this mountain pretty far outside of Egypt. It happened, as unlikely as that sounds, right? Jesus promised that he'd be raised from the dead on the third day, right? He promised that he was going to die. That seemed actually, even the death part seemed unrealistic to his disciples at the time. Why would anyone ever kill you? How could they ever kill you? But he also promised that he'd come back. So getting back to our prayers, there's a lot of things that we might not be sure. What is God's will? What should I major in? You know, when's COVID going to end, right? There's a lot of things that we're not going to get a good answer from the Bible because it's not written there. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that we know are God's will and that he wants. And if we pray for those things, we know that he hears us and we know that we have what we asked him. And just like he did very improbable but promised things in the Bible, he does the same for us, you know. So we can be sure that God answers on the basis of our relationship with him, that Jesus Christ bought us with his blood. He died for that. So we have a relationship. And two, we have promises. God said he would. Right. And one last thing before we go on. About being eager and excited for the Bible. Have we earnestly prayed for blessing from the Bible, you know? I think that was something new to me when I first came into our college ministry many years ago when I was an undergrad at UCLA. I was like, they're really praying before the Bible study, not just like bless the Bible study, but help me understand something new. Help the guys have their lives changed by this word. Help us understand this topic. Would these verses speak to us, minister to us, change us? James 4:2, the last part of it, it says, you don't have because you don't ask God. And sometimes we just don't have these things because we're not earnestly asking God. I know especially scripture memory can be something that we do a lot of in our ministry, but maybe it doesn't necessarily feel like something that you're totally stoked about. I know I wasn't when I first came in. I'm like, man, you guys really are devoted to memorizing verses. That feels very like, I don't know, very rote. Very like, I went to a Baptist elementary school and we just memorized verses, but it wasn't that exciting to me. It's just that thing that I get quizzed on every Friday. And it never really seemed to do much for me outside of that, sadly. But then I realized I never really asked God to bless me through that. You know what I mean? And now I enjoy scripture memory so much, but I know that my leaders prayed so much for me to enjoy it, and I prayed to enjoy it. God, make me enjoy this. Let me enjoy this. And scripture memory, the verses I memorized have really changed my life. So pray earnestly. So these are are five things that I really want you to pray earnestly that are in God's will and that he's delighted to answer because of your relationship with God, because he's your loving father in Jesus Christ. So one, just very straightforward. God, bless me through this verse or bless me through this story, through this passage. It's something that often the pastor or the speaker will pray when we start a message. It's something I habitually pray. God, please bless people, help them, comfort them, strengthen them. But ask for blessing because God promises in Isaiah 30:18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Like he longs to give us blessing. And that word gracious, it also implies regardless of whether we deserve it or not. He wants to be gracious. He wants to give us far more than we could ever deserve because he's just so generous, so good, so kind, so loving. God, the Lord is a God of justice. That feels kind of weird, right? Like, what does that have to do with being gracious, to him rising to show compassion? But I think looking at it from a New Testament point of view, why is God gracious? Because he is a God of justice. There's a lot of reasons why he might not be good to us, but that he'd actually have to judge us, right? We do a lot of things that don't deserve blessing from God. We do a lot of things that deserve punishment from God. Every time we're dishonest, right? Every time that we're not faithful, when we don't keep our word or keep our promise, even like every impure thought, every time we kind of blew up, even just a little bit at someone, like just lost it just a hair, oh, I'm so annoyed, you know, acting out of anger, a mean word, gossip. I mean, there's a lot of things, right, where we fall short of God's perfect, holy, high standard. He's got the highest standard. But God is a God of justice. He totally punished Jesus in our place. There is no punishment left for you or me. Because Jesus, as the song says, Jesus paid it all. Now he longs to be gracious to us and to bless us. And we can ask him for that. He rises to show his compassion. In context, it's talking about like a king. God is a king. King is generally when people come to visit them, they're sitting in the throne room. They don't rise unless something special or someone special comes in. But to you and to me, little old you and me, he rises to show his compassion. He really does want to bless you through the word. All scripture is God-breathed. To equip you and me for every good work, to bless us, to help us, to teach us, to correct us, right? So no matter what the word is, he does long to bless us. So pray, when we come to the Bible study, when we come to the message, when we come to the meeting, or even just opening the Bible to read, we ask the Lord, God, bless me. And pray it earnestly from the heart, not just, I think for some of us that have been Christians for a while, we're just like, oh God, bless me through this. Just kind of like a rote thing that we say. And that's fine. Just when you say it the next time, say it from the heart. Say it with a little thought. Pause a little, you know. Think about what you're asking for. Think about who you're asking. Bless me, God, through this. Speak to me. Help me. Comfort me. Strengthen me. That's kind of what all of this is about. Going on from there. Help me understand this first. This is pretty basic, and sometimes this is the one thing that hinders us from being blessed by the word. Honestly, the Bible is a very large and complicated book. In many ways, right? A lot of us have tried to read the whole Bible, and a lot of us haven't done it, and others of us, it took us a lot longer than we expected to finish it. Especially that first time, if you've read it more than once, it's like, oh man, I just kind of get stuck at this one point, because I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Or why is that here? Why is God this way? Is that right? Did I get that right? There was a situation in the last chapter of the book of Luke after Jesus had been crucified. He was resurrected, but not everyone knew that yet. That's Luke 24. And it's actually a really funny story. He kind of crept up on some disciples who had believed in him. But they were so crestfallen, so heartbroken. Jesus died. Like, we'd follow him anywhere, and then he's gone. They crucified him. The miracle worker, the Savior, who spoke such wonderful words that gave life. And we're confused. And Jesus is so funny. He talks to them. He says, well, why are you guys looking so down? And they're explaining to Jesus what happened to Jesus. It's the best. They're like, do you ever hear about this guy, Jesus? Man, you haven't heard about him? You don't know about this? And they explain. And Jesus sits them down. He says, how slow are you guys Let me explain to you. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And he just kind of patiently, as they were walking on the way to another town, the whole walk, he's just explaining. Hey, remember that part from Genesis? Remember that part from Exodus? You know that thing that Isaiah said? And he's unpacking it. So we have precedent, right? Jesus likes to unpack things for us, to explain it. I wish I had put the other part of this passage on here, because a little bit later, they stop to have dinner together. And they're just like, come on. They don't know it's Jesus yet. They're like, just stay with us. This has been such a great talk. We understand. Like, they're really excited. And he's like, okay, I'll stay with you guys. Let's have some dinner. And he breaks the bed and he lets them see somehow who he really was. Suddenly they recognize him, that he's Jesus. It's like he was keeping them somehow from recognizing him, and suddenly he turned that off and they recognize him, like, oh, it was Jesus. And then he disappears and leaves them very suddenly. They don't know where he went. And what the text says is that they looked at each other and they're like, oh my gosh, weren't our hearts were burning as he explained the word to us. What we're talking about here is not just like an intellectual understanding of the word where we get it in our head. What is this part of the Bible about? What does it mean? But where we get what it means so much that our hearts are like burning. Have you ever had something like that happen with the passage from the word where it wasn't quite clear and then suddenly it becomes clear? It's funny because when we pray, God, help me understand, there's a lot of ways that this could actually happen. I feel like what I expect it to happen is that I'll just kind of come to it on my own. And sometimes that's what happens. I'll look at the passage and suddenly remember something, or I'll see it in a new way. But other times, God will bring someone around that can explain it to me. And God really delights in doing that too. That's one of the reasons he brings us into fellowship, into this group with one another. It doesn't even have to be someone like a pastor or a Bible study leader too. I remember when I was a sophomore, a lot of times it was the other sophomores explaining the Bible to me. And they didn't know the word like tremendously better than me. But it's funny that the point where I needed to understand what this was, God brought the right person, even though it was just one of the guys in my Bible study. We're in the same boat, but he just explained it in a way that suddenly it's like, whoa, I get it. This is amazing. This is huge. And that's what God wants to do. And that's why this is such a profitable, such a good thing to pray. Help me understand, God. Okay. Third one. This one's actually really big. Help me obey this verse. Sometimes we'll get to a passage in the Bible and it'll just be so intimidating. We'll read a command and think, oh my gosh, how could I ever do that? There's no way. There's so many reasons why I couldn't obey this. It's not possible. It's the way I am. It's the way people are. But John 14:21 tells us, Jesus says these words. He said them at the Last Supper to his disciples. He said, well, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. We know that God is love and that he loves us very much. He wants to reveal himself to us. This is all things that are his will. And it's very much his will that we would obey, that we would be holy, that we would do good. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus said. It's one of those passages like, wait a second, whoa, how can I ever do that, right? And actually, that's actually a reasonable response, because honestly, Jesus loves to ask extremely unreasonable things of his disciples and of the people around him. If you think about, if you're familiar at all with the miracles that Jesus did, it's like in the book of John, for example, he looks at his disciples who have no money and not really carrying much with them, not even their own food. And he's like, "Hey, how are you going to feed this crowd of thousands of people?" And they're like, "What?" Another version of that story, they come to Jesus with the question, "Jesus, all these people are hungry. How are we ever going to get them food?" And Jesus just tells them directly, "You give them something to eat." But this is why it's so very important we ask God, the one giving us these instructions, giving us these commands, "God, help me obey this. God, help me obey," because he's delighted to help us obey. He wants to help you obey. He is for you. He is with you. And you can think about any command. Some of them, I would say, are just like, "Oh, this is something that's generally very difficult for everyone." But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, it says in Ephesians 5:3. Not even a little bit of immorality, not even like a passing thought. That's pretty hard, right? The culture, the media, it's all against me. It's against us. But we can ask God for help with right? Maybe it's something that's particularly difficult just for you. And I think if you stay in the Word long enough, if you listen to enough sermons at church, if you stick with the Bible study, oh, if you stick with reading the Bible, sooner or later you'll come upon something that you know God is telling you to do, but you're just like, "But I can't do that." We can pray, "God, help me to obey." And what's amazing is that it's when we obey in these areas, that's when we really see God. Remember, he longs to be gracious to you. This is what he delights to do. He wants you to know him, his power. And what better way than to help you obey something really big like that? So that's a third prayer that God really delights to answer. Here's a fourth one. "God, remind me of this verse when I need it." Sometimes you read something and you'll be like, "Oh, that's really awesome. It reminds me of this thing I was going through, or this thing I'm going to go through in about a year. This quarter is really chill. This semester is pretty easy, but I know next semester is going to be insane." You're looking at your class schedule or something. Or you see like something big on the horizon. Maybe it's a family member or a friend with a health issue that you know is not a thing yet, but it's definitely going to be a thing soon. Or who knows what, right? Maybe it's a finance thing that's just on the horizon. We haven't got enough money for this month or this semester, but well, I don't know what I'm going to do in January, right? You don't feel the need immediately, but that's why we ask God, "Remind me when I need it, when I'm about to get into trouble, when it's about to be too hard, when this problem finally comes to pass," right? This is the same conversation, actually. This is just a few verses after the last verse, but John 14, 25 and 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Okay, all this I've spoken while still with you." And he's telling them he's about to leave them. "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." This is something that God really wanted to do. Jesus Christ, too, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants to do that today. there's times where it's easy to forget. I'll hear an awesome sermon, and then I'll be like, you asked me in a month what that was about. And I'll be like, oh gosh, I don't know. And it's funny because sometimes those things I heard at last month's sermon are the things I need this week. Right? Like Pastor Min's been preaching these awesome sermons about who God is and all the things that he does. There's a lot going on in those sermons. And in fact, it's kind of hard just right now thinking about it. Wait, what are some of those topics, right? What has he been talking about? Do we ask God to write those things on our hearts? Even just generally. Help me not forget these things. Who you are, God. What you've done. And I think sometimes, definitely, it's not easy to remember, but have we asked God to jog our memory and to help us not just hear these things and enjoy them that Sunday, but to enjoy them all throughout life? Not that we need to be able to recall exactly what was preached 12 Sundays ago at any given moment, right? I don't think God's interested in us being like human Google, but especially when it's important. Because it's important for me to remember that God provides. Not just the Sunday that I hear that message that God's going to provide when I need. But when I'm actually in that issue, when that problem comes, and I'm like, God, are you really going to provide for our family in this way? And so we ask God, remind us. Remind us when the bottom drops out. Remind me. Maybe you don't even know when you're going to need it, but we can pray, God, remind me as I have need. So I don't ever forget this, because this is a good one. This is a big one. Okay. Fifth one. So we started with blessing, and we're going to close this with blessing. Help me to bless others with this verse. Make this verse a blessing to someone else. Make this passage, this sermon, this story, a blessing to someone else that is not hearing this or reading this with me right now. This is, it's kind of funny. I got the blessing to preach at another church over the weekend. Pastor Johnny, who some of you know, he and his wife, they just had a baby. And he called me up late at night and he's like, oh, I need to ask a favor. Could you help out and preach at my church? And I'm like really excited. I don't know exactly what I'm going to preach, because I'm like, oh snap, wow, okay, great. And I prayed about that and God gave me something to say, and that was really, really enjoyable, trusting God that way and seeing what God had to say. But it was funny because I was also asked to give a benediction, which is at the end. And I'm actually not very familiar with this because I don't usually preach on Sundays. In America, I usually preach at our weekend or midweek meetings, so I don't have to give a benediction. I think I even wrote it down because I wasn't that familiar. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. As I was preparing, I realized I didn't even know where that was. It was kind of sad. So I Googled like benedictions. And I came upon every church, actually, a lot of churches actually have different benedictions if you haven't been to a lot of churches. I didn't go to many churches, so that was kind of new to me. And I'm like, oh, these are really great verses and they're really great passages. And I actually came upon this one, and I remembered something my small group leader told me about this one. A lot of churches will use this for passage, Psalm 67, as a benediction. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. What's funny is not all churches go on from there. That's where the benediction might end at some churches even. May God bless us, be gracious to us, make his face shine upon us. But the thing is, that's not the point of this chapter of the Bible. God blesses us to be a blessing. And the reason that churches might close with this is because the reason why God blesses us with the word, with discernment, is that we might go out and bless others. By our obedience and by sharing this word with them, you know. So we need to also ask God. I mean, it's not easy, especially at least for me as a young Christian. When I was the first, second year, I was very intimidated by the idea of sharing my faith with other people. I don't feel like I'm good at explaining it even to myself sometimes. And to explain anything about God to someone else, that he loves them, Christ died for them, how can I answer any questions about this? Not easy, right? But that's why we can, it's great to ask God to help us to bless others. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways, O God, might be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Help me to take this blessing and to pass it on to other people, whether by explaining, sharing, being able to defend it, or being able to live it in such a way that others are blessed, not just blessed, but blessed so much that it makes them want to praise you, God. It makes them want to worship you. And I feel like this is one of those things that if you haven't done a lot of it, explaining the Bible, sharing about God, Jesus, the blessings of being a Christian with other folks, once you start doing this, it's just such a faith adventure. Whether you're doing it in your dormitory or in your neighborhood or overseas on missions, it's a faith adventure and a blessing. And we see God work in so many ways whenever we do this. It can be intimidating, but that's why God says we can ask him about this. And he wants us to ask him, because he wants to bless people through people, through you and me. So those are five things to pray that we can be sure that God will answer. Bless me through this verse. Help me understand this verse. Help me obey this verse. Remind me of this verse when I need it, and bless others. Well, let me just give you, this is like application in itself. We usually end with application. Just to put this out there, this is basically the main application. But a few other smaller points. Oh yeah, there's everything. So just for the recap. But besides praying these things, let me give you three other super practical things to do. One, or I guess on this chart, two, take notes during messages, which I think most of you already do. But if you haven't started taking notes, yes, take notes whenever you hear a preaching or a Bible study. And for those of you that are taking notes, let me give you a bonus one. Go back through those notes from time to time. You don't got to do it like all the time, but it's a wonderful thing. Maybe once a month. But if you have the time, once a week is cool too. But like once a month, look back at your notes. At least once a quarter or a semester, right? But to look back at what God has been saying, sometimes that just gives me so much clarity about, maybe it's clarity like, oh man, this is why my life is messed up. He's been trying to tell me this, but I just haven't been listening. It's so clear. I heard this, like the same thing was said in three different messages back to back by different people or something, right? Sometimes there's that kind of clarity. Or other times it's like, oh my gosh, I totally missed that. When I first heard that message last week, I thought this was the main thing for me, and it was. But wow, this point was really good too, and this really strikes me right now. But take notes and look back at those notes, right? A second thing, write in your Bibles. I know for some of you that might seem like a totally crazy idea. Like, it's the Holy Word of God. I don't want to mess up my Bible. And yeah, I wouldn't want you to mess up your Bible either. Like, don't just write random stuff in it. But I would say take notes on what really blesses you and help you. If you have room, of course, some Bibles, especially if you got a little one, it won't have a lot of room to write. But let me pull out mine. This is the Bible that I've been carrying around since my college days, My small group leader gave it to me when I was a sophomore for my birthday. And there was a dedication page until my daughter ripped it out randomly with everyone's signature and the date. But it's okay. I know who gave it to me, and I know when they gave it to me. But it's a really cool thing to take notes because it's like a record of what God's been saying. Kind of like keeping a collection of letters from a friend. It's like, I see this verse. I just randomly opened it to a page, but Isaiah 60:22 says, "The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest and mighty nation. I'm the Lord. In its time, I'll do this swiftly." Something that's really cool. I wrote right there above Isaiah 62. I don't 22. I don't know if you can see it because it's super small scribbled. But it says August 20th, 2004, 8/20/04. The USC promise. Because at that time there was no USC ICA. August 20th, 16 years ago, we were praying about starting USC ICA and praying that God would bless us as we go out to evangelize. Because I don't know much about evangelism. I don't know how to share my faith very well with people. Honestly, it kind of scared me a lot back then. But God gave me this verse through Pastor Min. I highlighted it, circled it, and wrote a date, USC promise. And it's like, wow. You'll thank yourself later on when you take notes. And I've got a lot of notes just about different places. I was in China when this happened. I was at USC in the old, what was there before the village, freaking out about something when this happened. I was in the car outside of Cal State Dominguez when I got this verse. It's like a running record of God's faithfulness and what he's been trying to say to me, and it reminds me of all the blessings. Highlights, underlines, different colors. Anyway, it's great to write in your Bible. And fourth, I would just say collect verses that you really enjoy. And maybe what I used to do is I'd have a journal. Usually like a really tiny one, like one of those little, I don't know, even know how to call it, but it was like one of those marble looking covers, looked like a tiny composition book. You get them from Walmart for like a buck. But my, at a summer training program I went to, they told us like, this is a promise book. Anything that God tells you that's significant, write it down. Write down the whole verse verbatim, word for word in this book with the reference. And there was a lot of good verses that summer, so I just collected them all in that little by little. And that turned out to be a huge blessing because throughout the rest of the quarter and the rest of the school year, whenever I got in trouble, I was like, oh, I got a verse about that. And I just open up that little book. I'm like, yeah. John 14, 21, there it is. Psalm 62, there it is, because I didn't know my Bible very well back then. Now I know it a lot better, but in part due to doing stuff like that when I was an undergrad. And it was just such a blessing to look back and like, oh, God spoke that during like the fall quarter. God spoke that one during the summer retreat. God spoke that one during my morning reading one day. That's awesome. And I just kind of kept it there. And I would say if you're not doing one or more of these, it's a great thing to do just to try one of them for a week or two or a month and see what happens. But especially pray these things over any part of your life where you're going to church or to the fellowship and getting into the Bible, but it's not something you're super excited for. Whether it's scripture memory, your Bible study, your Sunday sermons even, or sermons like this one on Wednesday nights. Sometimes we have not just because we ask not, but God doesn't want his children to go through life that way. He longs to be gracious to you. You are his beloved son and daughter. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be strong. He wants to use you to bless so many people. And we don't want the reason that that doesn't happen to be. We didn't get it because we didn't ask for it. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much that you brought us into relationship with you, the God of the universe, the maker of everything. through your son, Jesus Christ, and the high price he paid on the cross, how good you are, God. And I pray that your goodness would come through in every page of your Bible for each of us. And I know a lot of us are just really enjoying your word. I pray we'd enjoy even more, God, that we wouldn't miss out on a bit of the blessing you want to give. Help us to obey, God. We don't want to be a people that come to meetings and just learn more about the Bible so we can tell other people what each part of it says. But we want to be people that do everything it tells us to do, that our lives would be a living witness and testimony to the greatness of you, your power, your love. So Lord, help us to live it out. May the word bless us. I pray that the word would bless people in new ways this week, God. That parts of the Bible that people thought didn't have much for them would speak in new ways. I pray that old and familiar words that really bless people in our church and our fellowship, God, would you use those words in new ways to bless us as well? God, favorite verses. But God, would you just show that your word truly is living and active, full of grace, and that you answer prayer because you are delighted in us, your children. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that Jesus did. Thank you, Lord. Be with us and bless us and help us. And would your word be a joy and delight to us, God, that you would give us your word. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.